This morning we shall turn to the book of Prophet Hosea chapter 14. Book of Prophet Hosea chapter 14. And we begin with verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. This morning I want us to think about a call to repentance. And we shall almost read the whole chapter. I mean, we shall draw all the lessons from it as we go on. And it's a very good piece when we talk of repentance and God's calling for people to repent. And I pray the American say, Yebeka, some of our again sacra, sir, Nakupon Fre, Nipa, so bring again sacra. And I'm going to share Prophet Hosea in the book here, chapter 14. No? And
at this time of Prophet Hosea's prophecy in Israel, Israel was still in rebellion against God. They were still in continuance in their sin. And if you look at the prophet, they come and always come and announce God's, either the people are sinning and they will come and announce God's, ways to them and a call to repentance and also his judgment if they don't repent. Often that is how the prophet comes to Israel to tell them. They will bring words of peace, words of mercy, words of comfort from the Lord, and still also remind them that God's judgment will come upon them if they don't repent. But so we see that Israel was still in rebellion against God, were sinning against him, but God's mercy and patience towards them was still available, waiting for their repentance. In their sense, God's mercy and patience was still available. You see, God is so merciful to us that in times that we are rebellious, he's still, the Bible says forbearing, he forbears with us. If God does not forbear with us, none of us will ever live. So you see, this is his attitude. He's a merciful God, and he shows this to the nation of Israel. You know, these words, as in chapter 14, were addressed primarily to Israel as a nation, for them to come from their backsliding, which is a way of sin, but we shall consider them as showing God's ever gracious invitation to sinners to repent. The details in the whole thing is the same thing how God deals with every sinner to repent from his ways and come back to him. So we apply the application that way to help us to see God's call to repent. And when he calls sinners to repent, he called them to repent so that they can trust in his mercy in Jesus Christ, who is the only way to the Father. You know, in the prophets, if you go to the Old Testament, they were calling them to his mercies and for them to come to the Lord. And you know, the only way anyone can come or turn to the Lord from his sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you see, the only one who stands in between a sinner and Almighty God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And his sacrifice, which he offered himself on the cross of Calvary, where he poured his sin, his blood, as payment for the punishment of sin. The other kind of say, Imran, our prophet, Hosea, all kind of, your shahs, all kind of seminal. Now Israel, a cross of Yasun, DTA, and Coupon, and the other say, Impuna, no, we have as for DTA, and Coupon, and Coupon, the Mobro, who, and Nabotre, no, that's so a mom. Ah, Yankupon, a swan, the prophet, the commission, who there, so make a drum. Now, you can't say the same way, the catcher is right for, this one to me if you're bony muaba, no, I'm a Yankupon, hope you're no mono, you better share not to say, Miss Ma, Yankupon, a friend, the boy, any via, few bony, so I'm branding chain, no, on who and mobile. And you can't say, see, Yankupon, bony, any via mobile. And I'm just used to, afford your bow, Calvary, assembly, and so I didn't hold to she in Mojagu, and when I hope more chassel, not in Paboni, a channel. Say, Christo, you are Bonifacin, who me, a movie, and I hope one more Bruno, the Huno Christo Mupe. So going forward, I would like us to go into the chapter. I've divided it into four different headings, and the first thing is a kind invitation, the second thing is rules for the invitation. The third thing is sincerity in confessions. And the fourth thing is promise of peace. We can see all this in the chapter. The Edikan here, a frere, a year, I am your frere, Yankupon de frere. The Atosso, so here, a quire, media to her, se ofre nipa mfa sombra wo de kwa to wo hyehye mra ato ho a nipa fa so nyesa ofiti ana meba wo de ne kwa to ebe tumi fa so aba na se ne kuredie ewo yen boni kan na se si e ba ne nimu a ebe kye mesima ye tibia tie ani mesima ye sutie no ye be ne be ka no kure se de tie a kye no na ye twa to ye asomdwe a wa hye bo se wo abeba no wo de be ma. So in the first verse it says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. As I said, Israel have sinned against God. How did they sin? They sinned by departing from his law and to his worship and trusting in things which they ought not. This is the basic, backsliding of Israel. There are a lot of things. They have what? Departed from his laws. Injustice was prevailing. Lies, immoralities were prevailing. And also his worship. They have put in place idols, and also the ways of they have put their trust in things. Such an affront to God. That's how the Israelite was as at then. But you know, despite all this, the Lord seeing they are ruined by this. You see that the Lord, sees that these people, though they have wronged me, they are going astray from me, but it is taking them to destruction. So the Lord seeing they are ruined calls them to repentance and trust in him once again. Yes, they have sinned against him, yet he calls them to come to trust in him again. Such is the mercy of the Lord, that he says that he never delights in the punishment of the wicked, because he always wants the wicked to turn from his way so that he will show mercy. They here can say, Israel for a day one of my young people, who say, Omo fini mra hon, ne sumun suwa, so omo sumun no, omo fi hon, omo di abo suma beshe, wana, omo samso do omo, omo jedi ashe nyome mu, and so some a day or mushim. Samuma, me and saying, yeah, a quitting and go for him right now. Sana Israel for Samuel no more, and throw a bravo bonnet, and then Yome Munia, and now Israel, Samuel no or Mudiso. And when we think of its application, as I said, this was about Israel, but for all mankind in general, God is the God of all creation. And creation owes allegiance to God. Yankupon, on of what we are seeing here, and we are sitting. Obey no, till we are seeing more. On Yagopon dear. Now, Nipa will be born in Tinipa Brimunisa. If you say any, yeah, in Psalm 100:3, we read that, Know ye that the Lord is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. How many people really taking this? We will say with our lips, but in practice, we are our own bosses. We live our life for ourselves. But God has made us, and we ought to give Him allegiance. We must live to please Him alone. But sadly, sin has turned us from Him. All mankind in general, we are not able to live to our Creator, the one who owns us, He who has made us because of sin. Because of our sins, we are not able to live to please the Lord. And we have asked, as I said that, we have each one have turned unto his own way. So as was the case of the rebellious Israel, each one of us, we have fallen by our iniquity. Each one born by a woman is falling into sin, because we are born by a parent who are also sinful. We are all sinful. Each one of us by our sins have broken God's law. Who can say that he has never broken God's law? Let me just, in the commandment, we are told that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, all the time. Which one among us can say that he has ever done that even in an hour? It's not true. Nobody can say that. And also, he said that who has never said anything in his heart apart from God? We are all guilty. Even these two, and many of his laws, and if you go deeper, to see that we have all sinned against God. And then, how can we come back to him? We have become more sinful. We have broken his law. And although left to ourselves and our love for our sins, no one is willing and is able to return to the Lord. We love our sins, and we never want to return to the Lord. Naturally, that is what we are. That is what we say, total depravity. Total depravity is not about that man is depraved, that he cannot live his life, technology, and let's say, live as a social being, or do some good. No, total depravity is our spiritual depravity. How we fall short of the standard of God. That we can be a good person in our community, in wherever we are, we can be called an honorable person, but before God, we fall short because of our sin. That's the depravity. We cannot meet up the righteousness that makes us able to stand before God and be justified. That's our depravity. We cannot. And the will in us is also depraved because of us. We love to sin. Who don't love his or her sins? We all love our sins. That's how it is. So man is totally depraved. Man cannot come to God because of sin. But despite our unwillingness, in returning to the Lord, there's a groundwork of hope. There's a basis of hope because God himself invites us and he will enable us to come to him. The other kind of say, say, Yankupon Efre, say, Nipa, Ereba, and Inchen. No, Eka say, Bwane, Ama, Nipa, and to me, Nkwen Yankupon Inchen. If you say, and Eka say, Bia, Nipa, Eni, Ahwadiyan, Bwane, Yankupon Inchen, to say, Bia, unto me, Inchen, we ask him, Bwane, Bra, say, Nipa, Bia, first of all, on Dibwane, on Yen, Yoma, Hunu, and yes, I know, Eka, name, Mumbia, catch, and ya, Bwane, Pa, to me, Jen, Yankupon, Nim, Nayabuni, Bim, and a chessy. I said that all our goodness are filthy rags. If we say total depravity, that's what we are talking about. But near guys, as I said, a moment, the papia and your person of Conyaco point chain, the papia and the two of Conyaco point, and then so on one to himself, Frank, you know. And that's all. If we saw Obama, on one bashing, Obama, he will provide all the needed assistance. His spirit is working while you attentively listen to his word. God will be merciful to forgive and restore you despite your separation from him. Yes, we have also been separated from God, but he's merciful and he's willing to draw us to himself. He's still the God of heaven and earth, and he can be your God too. He can be your God. He can be the one, God that you can relate to as your personal God. You can know him and live for him and be pleased with him if you open your heart to him. His mercy. This is how God demonstrated his mercy when he calls us to him. His mercy was demonstrated in his delight in our return to him when he gave up his only begotten son to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So that Christ came to die in our place so that we can return to God. And without Christ, God giving us Christ to be our mediator, nobody can return to him. There should be a mediator between us and God. There's a conflict with man and God. Man is rebellious. Man is going away from God. And how can man return? Man hates the laws of God. Man don't want to do things that pleases God. You and I, that's how we are. So how can we be reconciled to God that we have wronged? Except there's a mediator. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are told, for he had, God had made him, Jesus Christ, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are sinners. When I come to the Lord, he takes away my sin and he gives me his righteousness. God has made Jesus Christ sin for us. He was not a sinful, but our sins were reputed, were put on him. And his righteousness is given to anyone who comes to him. So God has made him sin for us. He himself who have never sinned before. So it is a groundwork of hope that yet we have turned from the Lord, we are sinners through and through, and yet God in his mercy is calling us because he has provided the mediator for us through whom we can go and find mercy and turn to the Lord. The air can say, and you say, young gas your bonny and ne yesu no at Danny if you could point chain. Nemum the Atiana say Yankupon Rangasa Eddie Neba and Doba Ama. Send Nam no so ni between your banning chain. If we send Doba no or your bea no hum et ye on your bonnet that your banning chain, your bonny I no, or the mano, not the sin a year, am I near to me up again coupon now I jay at you. And then I kiss to a bear my and a John Tris is your say, said the Yankupon do we ask in ye. So then Doba Bakum my, so wow, begging you didn't win rat now bring out the uncle. So this is a groundwork of hope, a hope that is waiting for anyone, you and I, if you are willing to come, if you are willing to repent and come to the Lord, there's mercy to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our next thing to look at, the rules for the invitation. So we have seen that God is inviting everyone. All of us who have fallen from sin. You who have fallen from your sin. You who have not found mercy with the Lord. God is calling you. And we have seen the groundwork of hope also given. And yet, he invites. But God has a way that we can come to him. So the rules for the invitation. In verse 2, he says that, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. God has shown us the way to come to him. The Lord demands no costly things as gold, silver, precious things in the world, anything like properties. No, God does not require, when we are coming to him, he doesn't require anything from our hand. Or in time, I don't know if people are still doing it. People think that they want to repent, so they are inflicting bodily pains to their body. I mean, I think in some places they say that they have a rocky hill, you have to climb with your knees. That means you are feeling sorry for yourself. No, God said what? Take with you words. There's no personal inflection of pains to your body. Take with you words. Say, take with you words and turn to the Lord. It must be words framed from the heart in humility and repentance, from a contrite and a broken spirit. Not vain words of hypocrites, as Jesus said. You know, people seem to repent. They will come to the Lord and say some words, but they are not even sincere. Jesus Christ in Matthew 15:8 said that these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Meaning that what is in their heart is different from what they say from their lips. And many are guilty of this. Yet, I'm a sinner. Many see that they are sinners. But when they come to the Lord, they cover their sins. But it's serious. God knows every secret sins of our heart. And how do you then cover a portion of it? Bring it to the Lord with words and confess before him. Many are not saved because of insincere confessions. They come to the Lord and yet hold back their sins. And in moving on, say, take with you words and turn to the Lord. But what again? He not just anywhere. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. God is so merciful to us. He not leave it to ourselves that, oh, just come and do whatever I want. Say what? Say unto him, take away all iniquity. All the body of sins I have committed. Not one sin. All the sins I have committed. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That is a prayer to God the Father. We pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. Prayer shows dependence and faith. You know that the false teachings of charismatics nowadays make as if God owes us something. When they go to they go to him as if bosses. No, we come with pleading. So that has even affected people who want to come to God in repentance. As if God owes them something. No, we owe God. God doesn't owe us anything. I mean, we are his. And then we come. And prayer shows dependence and faith. Prayer, if I pray to God, it means that I'm pleading. Prayer is pleading. You beseeching. You supplicate. You ask things from, God himself. And it also shows how I trust. Because the Bible says that he that cometh to God, I believe that God, he is. If I don't believe there is God, why would I pray? The other can also say, I say, I'm fine. And I say, in some way, if you are coming, Fire mumuye nyere fi ho na gien kwa receive graciously gien kwa if you say yakopo ga so o gien na yetu aka wo ho a obi antumi ba ni nje o say gien kwa na gien kwa So you see, in the empire bought tre, say, ye the young two young coupon so. In empire bought tre, say, you will jade when you move. If you say, young coupon, if you are new, you know. Now, near by my uncle, Babu said, the other by uncle point channel. Or so, who's your uncle? It's who to me, bomb pie, say, now, yeah, sincere, when you kind of cry, I shall say, young coupon, what did he say? Yes, oh, Jehovah, oh, see, on Bible. So you must own God's mercy to forgive you your sins. That's the first thing. That God is merciful. It's his attribute. It's his nature to be merciful. So I come to the Lord not in doubt that if I'm sincere, God has promised that he's a merciful God. He'll forgive me. You must also know that it is by God's grace alone, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that your forgiveness and reconciliation to him rest. It's not just thinking that God is merciful. Yes, his mercy is seen in Christ alone. So, yes, also who said, Nyankopon e mo bro huni, se me ba ne nche wa ka, en eni su se ode bone che. Na mum no obehu se, ni su ni ne adomo a ode ene bone ode bone che no. Na mo Jesus Christ so pe. Eno pe no su na obetumi nya bone fa che. Na obetumi ni na nya enka bom. Eno pe su na ejina. So these two things are very important. Without which there is no grounds to be saved. Looking at God's mercy and through whom that mercy is given. These two. If whoever wants to come to the Lord must know these things and rest himself on these things. And surely, as God has promised, he will never fail. He really saved those who trust in him in this way. Anyone who confesses, Lord, take away my sins and receive me graciously, and still love his sins, is a hypocrite. Nia ope mkase eradie, miye di bonye ni, jimi bonye, na fami bonye chemi. Na me sanso, adro me bonye no. Bible say, uye nyachumini. Udo bonye na sanso, ubaya kupo inima, e nyachum. If you say, wakata inyo maso. Enfa against, enfa, enkwa jem bro. And then he moves and said, so, the last part of our verse 2. So will we render the calves of our lips. When the Lord has received us graciously, when the Lord has been merciful unto us, so we will render the calves of our lips. When I read the pure version of the Bible, it seems to say, Samuel, you're not an impure, better was it. It's interesting. The calves are an impure. And how, where is the, I mean, the calves of our lips? Not the calves of our burnt offerings, but of their lips. You see, people are willing to give up something to find mercy. As our world today, you do something, you pay something. No. What the Lord requires, he said, what? When I have had mercy upon you, then he taught Israel that then what? They said they will render the calves of their lips. Israel at that time were using burnt offerings, animal sacrifices. But there's, I mean, national, they said, what? Render the calves of our lips, not the calves of our burnt offerings, but their lips. When the heart in sincerity repents, the praise of God will be continually found in the lips of the repentant. Say, Akumano. So say the obiadiano. No. Who's any more point for the Huno? Oh, no, baby, and Tinapra Bunyan or Boshe Radian Union. Nana, no, and you are made a new yam, and you are made a Edenano. And yet, the uncle for, oh, me, Radia, you shall take that almost friend of gospel music or whatever. And they have a lifestyle they are portraying in the videos are showing you their unrepentant attitude. No, we are talking of true repentant persons. The one who has come and found mercy before the Lord. So such person, no lies. The one who has praises of God in his mouth, no lies, true praises. I'm not talking any praise, true praises. No lies and deceits. No more lies. When he's dealing with people, he's sincere. He will not cut corners. And throw any dada, any hope you. No more profane trivialities. And no more hunu, oh yes, and no more hunu here, and no more hunu here, who cry. The mouth shall now be controlled with God's truth and fear. Nyame asem ene nyame suru na be daada nipa no ano. Obi a oso wanya adwen sakra na nano ene na bra bo enda edise nyame adwen nkwa no nya nkwa. Efri se nipa nyame adwen nkwa na no kra no nyame asem na daada. Nse mo be kakra no owe ode to pan mu no ode nyame asem ato njen. Eso nyame ni ana. Ade ami be ye ekye se misuru nyame ana. But to do na so o masakra o madwen. Enso nyame suru ni o makumi. Dabi God, when receives anyone, the person will render the cows of his lips, his heart will produce that which is praise to the Almighty God who has saved him with such great mercy. So we move on to our next one, sincerity in confession. Sincerity in confession. You see, you cannot expect God to forgive your sins if you do not put those sins away by forsaking them. Sincerity in confession. Look at verse 3. It says that Israel will say that Asher will not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods. For indeed, the fatherless findeth mercy. This was being told Israel what they should come. Asher is Assyria. That's Assyria. Israel was taught to be specific about their sins. You see, when we come to the Lord in confession, we should be specific. We know particular sins that troubles us. Israel has sometimes, Israel was taught specific sins. These sayings of the prophet was a direction to the Israelites. That's how they should come. That's how they should come and confess their sins. That's how they should come and tell the Lord. So Asher shall not save us. Israel has not said this at this time, but they were supposed to come with kind of this, as like the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Similar with the Spirit teaching us to pray. When we come to the Lord in sincerity, we are able to bring this thing before Him. Asher shall not save us. They are to promise of their determination not to fall back into their former sins. That's one thing we have to know in repentance. When I come to the Lord, I shall come. Though I'm coming with assurance that the Lord will save me and be merciful to me, but I shall also come with a promise by myself that I am determined not to follow my course of life. That is my desire. You know, end of the year, December is getting to an end. You know, many people will go to church and make so many resolutions. Oh, the year of this, the year of that. If the middle of January will not come, then everything is squashed. No, but the true repentant will come with that determination, asking grace daily to be able to do what he has come before the Lord to tell him. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Israel has sometimes relied on Assyria's wealth and bounty to save them, to help them sometimes, and also Egyptian horses to support them to defend against their enemies, despising God's help and God's support for them. So that the bounty God has given them and also the defense God has given them, they have despised it. That's one of their sins. They relied on Assyria. Assyria was a mighty empire. They have a lot of wealth, and sometimes some of the kings of Israel relied on the Assyrian, power and influence, and also the Egyptian horses. You know, the Lord even told the Israelites that when they go to the Canaan land, they should not multiply themselves with horses. But, you know, some of their kings, I think Solomon and others, they multiply horses. And, when they become affluent, it's one of their sins. But they say that though they have done all those things, now they say, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon Egyptian horses again. We will not trust in the support of Assyria. So if they must repent, all trust in creaturely helps must be denounced. If their repentance should be genuine, whatever trust they put in things must be put away. So long as they trust in Assyria to help them, so long as they trust in the horses of Egypt to help them to fight their battles, there wouldn't be any repentance for them, because whatever repentance they make, they are still holding on to this help of creaturely beings. And the other part is that neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. They were trusting outside power and outside influence to help them, and also their own works, what they are able to do in the land of Israel. Also, they must denounce every confidence in self and capabilities. Their hands, the work their hands have produced, they can look out upon their harvest. Like at the time of Ahab, there was prosperity in Israel. And when Elijah came to tell him, according to my word, for 3 years there's not going to be rain, I'm sure Ahab will laugh Elijah. Oh, who are you? Look at, we are prospering. Harvest is good. Look at the cows and everything. But, you know, Elijah told, there's going to be a time of trial. There's going to be a time of difficulty because of your sin. Because you have trusted in these things, God is going to show that He is in charge. So these people were, I mean, the Israelites were told to denounce themselves, to denounce their confidence in self and everything. Also, they must know this, that for the last verse said that, for indeed, the fatherless findeth mercy, that when they come to the Lord, they should know that God gives mercy to only those who have no help, only those who have no support, who come to him as helpless. Israel must plead forgiveness not by merit, but purely on the grounds of God's mercy, not on anything they have, not on anything good they can do, but purely on God's mercy alone. For instance, if the government has some intervention for the poor people, whom do they look for? Those who cannot, who are living on the street, maybe who cannot even feed themselves in a day, and those who are, have no help. They are those that mercies are directed. Is it different from God? No. God, in spiritual matters, those who empty themselves, those who have no confidence in who they are, their beauty, other intelligence, whatever they have, whether money, whatever affluence, those are those God to give that mercy to. So long as you retain interest in any earthly thing, comfort and peace, you will never have God's peace. So for your repentance to be accepted, your known sins must be forsaken. I have listed some few general sins here. I think we can go through, then we move on to almost to our conclusion. There are some who are self-confident in their own opinions. They care not what the Bible teaches. You know, they do not deny that they have to repent, but they care not how the Bible says they have to repent. That's another, hindrance to many people's repentance. How does the Bible require me to repent? I know I have to repent. I will come. I will do it in my own way. You know, they are like the people in Israel, when King of Assyria took the northern kingdom to captivity, he brought some people to come and inhabit Samaria. And we are told that when the people came there, initially, there were lions, attacking them, and they were having no peace. So they realized that, maybe we are doing things against the God of this land. So they sent message to the King of Assyria to bring them a priest to come and help them so that they can worship according to the God of the land. And they brought them some of the priests, and the priests they brought were not even the right ones. And you know, when they have even reformed their worship, you know what the Bible said about them? In 2 Kings 17, 33, says that they feared the Lord and served their own idols. Two things. They feared the Lord and served their idols. Is that a true fear? That's how they were. That's how many also repent. Self-confidence. Yes, I know the Lord is there, but this is my own way. They feared the Lord and served their idols. Double stance. Loving the world, loving, what I can do, and thinking that I should find mercy from the Lord. No, there are some also who are self-righteous. This is the largest idol of the human heart. This man likes very well, but God hates most. Self-righteousness. It is the language of many, especially those who have been brought up from a family who are religious. They took him or her to church, and he has not been exposed to many households. I think he has some knowledge about scripture. He's living kind of a respected life. He's seen as he's a good boy, he's a good girl. But so many think that God, after all, I'm a good person. I'm not all that bad. There's a greater hindrance to repentance. So when you talk of repentance, but then in his heart he's good. After I was brought up, I was not brought up like any other children on the street. I was taught to be courteous, to be respectful, to do this and all that. No, that is not repentance. Whatever you were brought up with, you are still a sinner. You have to come to the Lord. You have to come and own him. There's a man called Bruce Gerenzer. I read his story just recently. He was a pastor for, 25 years. He had his training as a fundamental Baptist, and along his pastoring ministry, he switched to Reformed teaching because he saw that Reformed teachings were better than the fundamental. He even said that why his seminary teachers did not direct him to that teaching. And all this, in the year 2005, he left the ministry after 23 years as a pastor. In 2008, he said that he's now an atheist and a humanist. He has left the pastoral ministry. He said he's not a Christian anymore. Ask yourself, what happened to him? Was he truly a Christian? So I was following his story. And his motive to enter the seminary itself will show you that, yes, he wasn't a truly born-again person. And yet he has been to the pastoring church for 23 years. And he even praised it. I mean, Spurgeon said, he said that those sermons helped him a lot. Those sermons, the writers, the Reformed teachers, those things helped him. And he enjoyed their sermons. But ask yourself, how come he was never converted? And how he was even saying some of his story will tell you that he was never converted. And he married a woman from a Christian family. And according to his story, the family never liked him from day one, even to their old age. And I'm sure the family, they knew that he wasn't really converted. But he himself, he thought that they hated him. And he's still living, now 64 years. And he's now, championing gay and other things. He has been pastor for 23 years. He was not truly repentant. He had some influence religiously. He had some motives to be, a preacher, a pastor, however. 23 years, he didn't have any bad news that he was a bad influence. He left the ministry quietly. And people saw him as a good pastor. He pastored many churches. And he said that he's not a Christian. It tells you how his spiritual state was. But hypocritically, he did the work of God. Is it how it ought to be? So that, like what Apostle Paul said that about the unrepentant Jews, he said that, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That is what many people are. The Jews, many of them were affected with this. The Pharisees and others, even after Christ has returned, there were many zealous Jews. They were holding to the laws, and they were going and chasing, like Paul himself was. And yet, without the love of Christ in their heart, because there was no true repentance. We can be reformed somehow in attitude, in character, when we are being taught, scriptures. It can give us some kind of reformation in our characters. Until we are truly repentant, our salvation will be lacking. So it's a very serious thing. Self-righteousness. A man can do many, many things, but if he's self-righteous, there's a question about him before God. There's also confidence in money. Another area where it hinders many people's repentance. The greatest idol of our modern materialistic world. You know, our world today is everything is about properties, money. Without money, you can't do it. That's what, our system has become. Unlike the olden days, barter trade, you just have to do your, plant your crops and just exchange, and that's all. But today, everything is about money. Going here and come, money. So people have now rested their hope in money. Love for worldly riches and dependence on them for peace of mind and comfort of life is a very great hindrance to repentance. Many people think that it's not a big deal. The love, thinking that when I have money, I'll have peace. It's an idol. When I have money, then my life should be comforted because I can do this and I'll have a joy of life. No. Such attitude and such expectations in life will never make you have true repentance before that. Because your love, you like the Egyptians said that, the Israelites said, God told the Israelites, Asher will not what save us. We will not trust in our own works. We will not depend on the what? The security of the Egyptians or the wealth of the Assyrians. We will not depend on the wealth of this world. Yes, we have to do our work and have whatever it takes. If the Lord blesses us, fine. But that shouldn't be our ambition and hope. Like nowadays, a young man starts life. What is his view? Oh, that I will get a good job here. Even when they get a job that is not paying much, they don't even commit themselves to the work. They despise. They want a bigger job where they can maybe ride big cars. They will also build their houses. And that is so. And yes, they will be going to church and yes, they have this idea in their mind. And so they want God to use them and forgive them. No, it will never happen. Resting out your hopes in things of this world. Or somebody getting to retirement age at the workplace. I've seen many my workplace. And there are so many worry about many things. How they can keep some money, how they can. It's good to do some preparation, but that is only their hope. Thinking that if they go without any money, they are doomed. That is their hope. But when they are sick, they can be able to take care of themselves and all that. And their whole life, sometimes they will have to even cheat and do anything so that they can acquire whatever they want. And such attitude. Even it's a shame nowadays that many believers are guilty of these things. Love of money. And confidence that money can do everything. And without money, our life is miserable. We cannot be comforted. We see many people, even they are believers, they have so much trouble about life because money issues are troubling them. yes, we are all troubled by main issues, but it shouldn't sit on our happiness. That shouldn't be our main troubles of life. And if we are seeking repentance, the love of money is a great hindrance to us. It's a great, great hindrance. Remember what we read in Mark chapter 10, the rich man. He loved things. He loves his things. He couldn't deny, the comfort of his things. So he couldn't come to Christ. That's the example we have. And we also have dalliances. What are each one of us have our dalliances? Secret idols of the heart. Our pride in our own knowledge, our wealth and status. We don't say it, but it's in us. We are happy we are like that. Many will not say with their lips, but that's the language of their heart. Remember Achan. What did Achan do? He hid the stolen thing in his tent, and they were okay. I'm moving around in the camp of Israel. But what happened? He was exposed. And many, thinking that, oh, God, they are religious, and at least their life is okay, and they are keeping their sins, they are okay. But the day of judgment will expose such hypocrisy. Men's eyes will not see a hypocrisy, but the eyes of God pierces to every department of our heart and sees our love of our sins. Some also rest in the comfort of lust of the flesh and fleshly pleasures. Many have find relief from stress in bodily lust, in drunkenness, fornication, obscene images or videos, or in profane jokes. Nowadays, these things are very common because phones and internet is very common. Young people, grown-ups, they will be holding their phone and they are just enjoying profane things and profane jokes. And now it's very easy. People sending it around. People will be laughing at it. Such attitude and desire to have, stress to release from bodily, lust and such things will never profit anyone. They will rather make you damn your soul. It will make you not to repent because it gives you some joy. When you are distressed, someone when he's distressed, he has to take some alcohol to ease himself. Such things cannot, give you, what you have to take to repent. So that those who take pleasure in their sins will have no mercy from God. Because so long as you are okay, you have some pleasure, you have some comfort in your sins, how can you find mercy from God? It is the one who is enemy to his sins that finds God's mercy, God's pardon, love in Christ. When I hate my sin, when I look upon my sin and I'm crying to the Lord to help me, then I can find mercy. Then I can truly repent. My repentance is incomplete. I cannot really do until I hate my sins and my sins are my enemies. Because your sins are God's enemy. So if you love them, how can you be friend of God? As Amos said, how can two people walk together if they do not agree? If they don't agree, how can they walk together? So when you are willing to renounce all hopes and pleasures in things, then you are sure of finding God's mercy for your soul, where his salvation, the blessings of what Christ has done, will be given you. Quickly, I'll go to my last point, then I come to a close. The promise of peace. In verse 4, we read. In verse 4, God's promise of peace. Here, God speaking to the prophet, said that, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. When they have done this, you see, this, all this is what they have done. When they have done this, so I will heal their backslidings. Here, the Lord mentions three things he was going to do for Israel if they return. The first, healing. He will heal their backslidings. We'll add the first part of verse 5. And I said, I will be at the deal unto Israel. These are the blessings God was going to do for Israel if they come and repent. And he said, I'll heal their backsliding. That is, he will heal their guilt by pardoning them. Their backsliding has created a guilt. And they are guilty before God. But God will forgive them. He will heal that which has prevented his presence with them. Sin is a spiritual disease. It is the disease of the soul. Sin is a disease of the soul. You know that our body is full of a lot of diseases, but sin is a disease of the soul. It affects the soul, and out of it, we do all that we do. It's a disease of the soul. So for a person to be forgiven and cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest healing in the whole world. To have the blood of Christ cleansing me from my sin is the greatest healing. For it gives liberty to the soul so that the soul can relate to God. It gives freedom like a bird in a cage. Like a bird, sin has encaged us. Sin has encaged every sinner. But when Christ's blood purges, cleanses, we are at liberty. We are open. We are free to go to the Father, and He will be our God. So it is a healing from the disease of sin, not the disease of malaria or that. It's a disease of sin, and it's the blood of Christ alone that can heal us. Because we know in the world there are many medicines for each kind of disease. There are viral infection, bacterial infection, and each of them has their medicine. But this disease is the disease of the soul. Yet many are not healed because Jesus said, many are not healed from their sinfulness. In Matthew 13:15, Jesus said that, for this people's heart is waxed gross. It's inflamed with what? Sin. Their ears are dull of hearing. And how they have to listen and think about it, they don't. They are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Not their physical eyes, but their eye of faith. They cannot even have faith to rest on God. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. It's healing. I should heal them from their sin. Sin is a disease. And many who don't, like a mad person, the one who don't see himself as a sinner and seeking mercy, is like a mad person who thinks he's not mad. When you tell you are mad person, he'll be laughing at you. You are rather mad. That's what a mad person will tell you. That is the nature of someone who loves his sin and wants to be in it and cannot about whatever the word of God says about it. He has put his hands in his ear. He will not hear anything. He will not hear instructions. It's like somebody heading to a big hole and putting his ears in his hands in his ears and moving on. He didn't know that the hole is there. People shouting at him, he's still moving on. That is the nature of many who are in their sin. They have closed their ears with their sin, and they are moving on and leading on to eternal damnation. There's a promise of free life. He said that I will love them freely. That is, He will love them not because they deserve it, out of His own good pleasure, of His own mercy. Repentance is necessary, yet it does not merit God's forgiveness. That's what we have to know. Yes, repentance is good for us, but it does not merit anything from God. It's not that because we repent. We have sinned. God doesn't need us, for anything. We have sinned. So our repentance does not, merit God's salvation. I have a malaria. I'm diseased with malaria. If I'm willing to be healed, and I avail myself a doctor to heal me, does that take away the malaria? No, until the doctor has applied the medicine and I've taken it in. So repentance is like willing. You want to be healed of your malaria, and you are going to the hospital, and you are seeking treatment. Until the medicine is applied, there is no healing for you. Until the medicine is applied, so until for the medicine for the disease of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. As we are told in Romans 3:24-25, says that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Freely, we are justified freely by His grace, which is through redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom, that is Christ, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. God has set Jesus Christ as what? The one through whom we shall have that peace, through the faith in His blood, where there will be what? Peace with us. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. So that Christ, through Christ, God has declared what? His willingness to forgive our past sins. Because, as I said, through the forbearance of God, God, His patience has waited for us for so long. He's still forbearing with sinners. He's still waiting when they will come to Him. And yet, His mercy is manifested in Christ, His blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. Not in my repentance, not in my willingness. And who can be willing except God makes us able? His Holy Spirit moves in us. It's a work of God. Repentance is not a work of man. Ask yourself, why many people hear the gospel, but many are not repentant? Because except the Holy Spirit moves you, it moves your heart. And then you come to the Lord. The Lord have mercy upon you. So that He will show them what? Free love. I will love them freely through Jesus Christ. He said, for my anger is turned away from Him. It is the blood of Christ alone that appeases God's anger for your sins. So my question to each one of us is, are you resting in your hope of salvation in Christ alone? Are you willing to repent? And your repent, are you looking unto Jesus Christ? If you repent without looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, it's vain. There is no healing. There is no medicine for your disease of sin. The only medicine is in the blood of Christ, which He shed once for all for sinners. And it changes. And historically, it has changed. It has changed many. And it is still changing if you give up yourself to Him. And the last part is what? refreshing. He said, I will be as a dew unto Israel. What does the dew do? It's a refreshing element to plant the dew in the morning. That is, God himself and all his blessings will be theirs. They shall be refreshed in spiritual things. God revived their soul. There will be awakening. In Ephesians, we say that you whom God has quickened, they will be awakened. They will be what? A reviving from the sleep of death, the sleep of sin. Renewing grace must come after pardoning grace. God renewing us, God creating in us a new nature, will come after he has pardoned the sins that you owe, the debt of your sin. When he has forgiven you your sins, then he can start a new work in you by his Holy Spirit. Your salvation is incomplete if you do not know the renewed work of the Spirit in your heart, in your soul. Think of yourself. If the Holy Spirit is not working in your heart to be holy, there's no salvation. People think they are saved, but there's no work of grace in their heart. No. Until you feel the work of the Spirit, you know the work of the Spirit, as we are told that the work, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. It is in all holiness. So that we always say that what I do after conversion testify that if I were really saved, the work does not save me, but the fruit, like the flower we see around here, when the flower comes out, then we see, oh, it is bearing fruit. But if the flower doesn't come, you see, it's barren. There is no, anything in it we can expect. So it is a mark of God's acceptance of your pleading for his mercy and grace. As he told the Israelites, they should come and bring with words. They should come and say they have sinned, and God should receive them graciously. If God accepts them, he said that what? That's what you do to them. He said that, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be as a dew unto Israel. So when they do that, and God show his mercy upon them, you do this to them. And if God has not done this to them, meaning that God has not accepted them. So if God has not given you his Spirit as a gift to your soul to begin the work of sanctification, to make you holy before him in every aspect of your life, then there is still lack in your repentance. Christ has not saved you. So here is my pleading to everyone here who still has not responded to the call of God. God is calling all to repent. You, everybody, God is calling all to repent. In Acts 3:19, Peter told the people, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent. Come to him to repentance. Come with words. Come confessing your sins. When the time of refreshing, when he pours on you his forgiveness, his Holy Spirit, then in the presence of the Lord, you also will find mercy with him. And again, the Lord says in the last part of our verse, that who is wise and he shall understand these things, prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. This God's way of repentance, those who are seeking mercy shall find it and walk in it, and shall have mercy with the Lord. But those who want to continue in their sin, they shall fall in it. Even God's plain works, I mean, it's like somebody who's a drunkard, and there's a plain way. And there's a forest or a weed. The plain way is there. All along, you see that he's veering through the bushes. Because he cannot see. But those who want to do right, the grace of the Lord, they can walk in it. So the Lord is calling all to repent. So come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come, resting your hope on what he has done on the cross of Calvary, where he pitches for us pardon for sin. And then rest your hope in him. Come with words unto the Lord, and the Lord will hear you. Let's pray.